This is the Capital City Recap with Michael Cohen on More Compelling Talk Radio, 1320 WILS.
This is 1320 WILS. It is Wednesday. We are not bad right now. 71, cloudy, getting down to a low 51 tonight. Tomorrow, more thunderstorms expected to pass through the Lansing area. High of 70. Then we get down to a low 40. That's the cold front, because then on Friday, partly sunny, we only get to a high of 53. Low of 38, so expect cooler weather, but we will be seeing sun coming on Friday. Let's talk to a man that says the way to save our health and our planet is by eating less meat. Brian Kateman with us. He's the president of the Reducitarian Foundation, editor of the new book, The Reducitarian Solution, how to the surprisingly simple act of reducing the amount of meat in your diet can transform your health and the planet. Brian, great to have you on WILS.
Well, thanks so much for having me on the show.
I know you coined that phrase. Am I saying that right? Is it reducitarian?
You said it beautifully.
And how did you come up with the word?
Well, you know, I was in college and interested in environmental issues, and I was that guy who was taking shorter showers and telling people that they should recycle more. But it wasn't until much later that I made the connection between food and many of the issues that I cared about, climate change, biodiversity loss, water shortages, et cetera. And when I learned that factory farming was responsible for many of these issues in a large part, even in comparison to other issues like transportation and so on, it was pretty shocking to me. And so I decided that I wanted to become a vegetarian. Mm-hmm. And I was doing pretty good and felt good about that. You know, I was happy my actions were in line with my values, and I felt good. Problem was, I wasn't always perfect about it. There were times when I would find myself, I don't know, supposedly cheating or being lazy, as those words are often thrown around for vegans and vegetarians who aren't perfect. Mm-hmm. I remember one Thanksgiving, my sister, as siblings will do, calling me out across the table saying, "I thought you were a vegetarian, Brian." And I decided then and there that, you know, plant-based eating is not an all-or-nothing premise. And mm-hmm. the less meat we have, the better it's going to be for the environment, for our health, and, of course, for animals that are suffering in factory farms.
So you're no longer a vegetarian now, you're saying?
I don't identify as a vegetarian, no, only because I think that's a sort of strict, static word. Mm-hmm. Whereas the majority of people in the United States and developed world are not necessarily interested in veganism or vegetarianism. Of course, there are some, but many of us aren't. And I thought it would be good to come up with a movement and a word, reducitarian, that might encourage people to eat less meat with respect to their own diet, regardless of their motivation or the degree of reduction.
So how much meat do you eat in a given week, would you say?
At this stage of my life, I probably eat close to zero. When I first started out, I was still eating meat maybe once or twice a week. Mm-hmm. But these days, I don't eat it as much as I used to. Now, that doesn't mean I'm necessarily advocating that everyone should follow that. Mm-hmm. You know, the average person eats 275 pounds of meat a year, which is pretty startling. So if that individual was to cut back 10% or 20% or 30%, that would be a huge difference, even more so than encouraging someone who occasionally eats animal products to go vegetarian or vegan.
You'll see these vegans, vegetarians, they say, you know, they'll say meat is poison practically, right? They call it dead food, that kind of thing. Do you think they're wrong in saying that?
Well, I think they're certainly on to the fact that most people are not eating enough fruits and vegetables and whole grains and other foods that we know are healthy for us. I don't think an occasional slice of meat is going to kill a person, but certainly, you know, eating large amounts of meat is going to increase your chances of heart disease, cancer, diabetes, stroke, obesity, et cetera.
Eating too much sugar can do that too, right?
Sure. Yeah. That's why we're advocating that people eat more whole plant-based foods, you know, fruits, vegetables, whole grains, et cetera. These are the foods that are going to have a low carbon footprint, are going to decrease your chances of a lot of health issues, and won't be responsible for many animals that are suffering in cruel conditions on factory farms.
Brian Kateman with us on WILS. The brand new book is The Reducitarian Solution. It's in three parts, the mind, body, and planet. I noticed one chapter in the mind section, the bizarre forces that drive people to eat meat. What are those bizarre forces?
Well, there's a lot of forces. You know, most people are choosing food based on price, on convenience, and on taste. They're not necessarily choosing food based on ethics or environmental issues or even their health. Unfortunately, meat is heavily subsidized. You know, we don't actually pay what it's worth in terms of all the environmental damage, all the health costs, And so there are lots of these sort of hidden economic and policy forces that are driving meat to be artificially inexpensive. And that is in what part results in people eating as much meat as they do.
Now, but let me ask you, when you talk about destruction, I mean, isn't agriculture itself, I mean, we grow tons of soy and corn, things like that, that aren't necessarily used all for animals. Isn't it more a matter of just overpopulation and too many of us just eating right now?
Well, I don't know if that's quite right. You know, most of the soy and the plant-based products are actually fed to animals. They're not fed directly to us. I mean, there's a few essays in there that explore this topic. A cow, for example, requires 25 calories of plant-based matter. It eats it in order to produce 1 calorie of meat. Imagine if we took 25 bowls of pasta and threw 24 of them away before eating a bowl of pasta. That's really what we see in factory farming. There's just an incredible amount of waste in terms of feed that is required to raise these animals, and then we consume the animals. If we were to eat those plants directly, we would be significantly lowering the amount of, for example, land that it's required to grow these crops to then feed to the animals. So all throughout each level, there's a tremendous amount of waste that results. And so if a person's interested in, you know, fighting climate change, they really should think about the food on their plate. Mm. Again, we're not advocating for veganism or vegetarianism specifically. This is not an all-or-nothing plant-based. Every single plant-based meal that a person has is one that's probably good for their health, certainly good for the planet, and definitely good for the animals.
Yeah. So what do you say to those that feel we're eating too much, too many grains, too much sugar? We really would be better off eating less carbs. That's actually better for us in general. What do you say to that?
I think it always comes back to the same message, that what we're advocating for is the really non-controversial idea that people should eat more apples, that they should eat more broccoli. The truth is that just incorporating a few more servings of fruits and vegetables every single day into your diet is going to make a huge difference in terms of all these issues. I'm not saying that people should be, you know, shoveling back vegan food that has tons of sugar in it. I'm not saying every single day to have pasta, even if it's whole grains, but moving a little bit away toward eating animal products every single day and every single meal and incorporating a more balanced diet. I think that's a pretty good idea, and it's not controversial. And if more people would do it, they'll feel happier, the planet will be in better shape, and it'll be just a better place for everyone.
Brian Kamen, president of the Reducitarian Foundation. So basically, there's no one can really argue against your position. Is that what you're saying?
Well, certainly we get flack from both sides. I suppose there are some, although most vegans are really excited about our work, there are some vegans who wish that we had a harder pitch. And I think there are some omnivores who don't want to give up animal products at all and will continue to eat meat. But by and large, our message is not too controversial. Most people resonate. The message resonates with them, and they're excited about it. And, you know, our book has some really neat, simple strategies to help people along the way in terms of their journey of just trying to incorporate more plant-based meals into their diet.
So people that have issues with the way animals are treated, could they really be a reducitarian and eat even a little bit, or would that be really a violation of their principles?
I don't think so. I mean, I'm certainly concerned that there are 7 billion land animals that are capable of likes and dislikes and certainly suffer on these places. Mm-hmm. That concerns me quite a bit. There's 70 billion land animals worldwide every year that are slaughtered. I view every single time I have a plant-based meal that I'm contributing to a more compassionate world. Okay. And so, you know, I think...
But do you think it's natural for humans to slaughter and eat animals, though?
I don't think it's natural, and certainly not the animals we're eating today, which are pumped with antibiotics and have been artificially breeded to, for example, a chicken is so breasts are so large it's not even able to stand up and support the weight. There's a few essays in the book that talk about how our ancestors really ate primarily plant-based foods, and then when there was an animal that they could kill, and it was an exciting opportunity, they would do that.
But then you have the paleo folks that argue just the opposite. They say we ate mostly animal foods, especially in the cold weather climates. There really wasn't a lot of plant food to eat there. How do you explain that, then?
Yeah, I mean, I think they're wrong is part of it. Certainly, there's a lot of anthropological evidence to show that it just wasn't that common that our ancestors were eating meat all the time. And even if that was the natural state of things, there are a lot of things that are quote unquote natural. That doesn't mean that that's optimal. there's a wealth of health literature showing that people who eat less meat seriously reduce their risk of everything from heart disease and cancer and so on. I mean, just the idea that eating more fruits and vegetables, yeah. I can't see how that could hurt.
No one can argue against that, although I've heard people argue that too many fruits is not good because too much sugar, really. The vegetables, though, I don't think that anyone opposes vegetables, right?
Sure. And remember, though, most people aren't having fruits every day. That's the problem, right? There are just so
many
people.
Drinking fruit juice is what they're doing, right? That's,
sure.
That's
sure.
Sugar.
You're right.
Hey, it's Brian Kateman, president of the Reducetarian Foundation. He's the editor of the new book, The Reducetarian Solution, How the Surprisingly Simple Act of Reducing the Amount of Meat in Your Diet Can Transform Your Health and the Planet. Brian, great to have you on WILS. Thank you.
It's been a pleasure. Thank you so much.
And